We are at Hands of Life Martial Arts. I'm here with Arthur Hearns, who is the owner of Hands of Life Martial Arts in Garwood. Arthur, welcome to Cranford Radio.
Thank you, Bernie. How are you?
Doing well, thank you. Well, first of all, I think the best thing to do is talk a little bit about your business. Tell me about Hands of Life Martial Arts, please.
So Hands of Life Martial Arts is a martial arts and fitness business, and we focus mostly on kids' martial arts, but we do have adult programs, and we also have a kickboxing program that we started last year. The core of what we do, though, is working with children, and we've been doing martial arts in the community for about 12 years. So our kids' program is really popular. We have a very good reputation in the area for working with kids, and what our focus is about building character and confidence. And confidence is probably the core foundation of all of the other character building traits. So we really try to make sure that our kids that come in here build confidence, and we help them maintain it. And that's key to us for the what we're looking for them to be successful to go out into life. And so I think confidence is tricky because it's the one thing that you can grow up without. So respect, most people kind of learn how to respect each other outside, and even if it's not how they want to act, they know they have to. They have to carry themselves a certain way. But confidence is something that, you know, you can become an adult and be lacking in, and it can really affect the quality of life that you have. So to us, you know, confidence is really important in building in children. So that's one of the main things. And the respect would be an equal second to that. So that's big for us. So our classes are, all of them contain a character building lesson that goes what we call mat chat. And every class contains that. And I tell the kids in the class that that's the most important part of class, because that's the part of your karate lesson that you can use every day. So the kicking, the punching, the blocking, all the cool stuff that they like to do, it's the most fun for them, but it's not the part that's going to be useful for everyday life. The training and the process is, right? That part they don't understand yet, but the physical training of it, we hope they never have to use. But those character building lessons are priceless to us, and they're important to the parents too. So that's the major focus for the kids. For the adult program, we have a unique martial art that we teach and study here. It's called Rute, and it's a classical martial art. So it's very old and intact, which most martial arts today are what they call modern or Do arts, and they're not. They're just different, you know. So if you want to learn how to protect yourself and you were smaller stature than the person who's attacking you, this art has things in it that you don't see in a lot of other martial arts anymore. They were just taken out on purpose. So it's pretty cool. You can never be bored with that kind of martial art, and it's pretty like a high level as far as the technicality of the art and the depth of it and the history of it too.
When I came in, you were just concluding a class with what looked to be preschoolers. Are those the youngest age group that you serve?
Yes. So we do from preschool all the way up to, I guess, my oldest student right now is 73. And our youngest is probably 3. So from 3 to 73 is our age range right now.
Now, you mentioned a couple of different martial arts. How many different martial arts do you teach here?
So I teach Rute. That's what we teach to the adults. That's what I extract my self-defense for our women's self-defense programs. And even for the kids, we extract concepts out of that and then break it down to pieces and chunks that they can kind of work with and develop in their body, even though they don't understand what self-defense is yet when they're 3 and 4 and 5. But I have a background in other martial arts. So I've trained in art called American Rukyu Kenpo, an art called Arnis, which is a Filipino stick martial art, and then small circle jiu-jitsu I did for 5 years with those three together. And before that, I started at the Judo Karate Center in Cranford, where, you know, because I grew up here. When I was 12 or 13, I think I started there officially in the school. And so I did a little bit of judo for a short time, but I did mostly karate when I was there. So, but here I teach the Rute, but all of that stuff that I learned kind of goes into everything that we do and we teach. And, you know, the kids program is like designed for kids to develop skills, right, to develop their skills, and it's age appropriate. So when you come to a preschool class, you're going to watch it and go, why are they doing that in a martial arts school? But you got to understand, they can't do martial arts yet. They have to learn how to balance, coordinate, and, you know, walk on balance beams and coordinate their hands and their feet. And then we do use the martial arts moves and start to get them to kind of integrate those things together. And every class or every program is age appropriate for that level of or stage of development for those kids or for those students. So really, I would say it's one martial art that we focus on here, but it encompasses all of the martial arts knowledge and education that I've accumulated over the years that I try to put in. And whatever I think is going to be effective for my students, what I think they're going to like, what I think is going to be fun, and what's going to get the best experience for them is what we try to put into the program.
For the students who are attending here, are any of them going on to martial arts competition?
Yes. So we have, I'm trying to think, out of the 200 and plus students that we have, we usually get about anywhere from 14 to 20 that will go to a competition. We're not a competition-heavy school. I don't push it because, again, like I said, it's about building confidence. So when you have a competition-heavy school, what happens is people will come in or students might come in and see that, and they think that they have to compete, and they may not sign up. They may not come to your school because they're afraid that they'll have to go and compete in front of people. And we don't want anybody to ever feel that stress, right? We want people to come in, feel comfortable, feel accepted, feel welcome and part of the community. And then when they're ready, if they're ready, then we say, hey, it'd be a great idea for you to do this. So the kids that go out and compete, they are confident and they're comfortable in going out and competing in front of people, but we prep them here. So like this month we have a, what we call an in-house tournament, and we encourage all of our students to do it. But the ones that don't want to, we don't pressure them. But what we do tell them is like, this is just a way for you to practice. We want you to practice one thing because I usually pick what they have to perform in that tournament, so it's fair. And we want them to go home and practice. So it's a tournament, but really it's about you going home and practicing every day to see how good you can make yourself in that time period. So you can see when you put time in, there's a reward at the end. And then they come and they do the in-house tournament. Everybody does, you know, has a fun time. The families love it. You get to bring your family, like your sisters, your brothers, your grandparents, people that don't normally watch you in class. So it's a good family event too. So we do compete. We do some in-house stuff and we do some outside tournaments throughout the year. We have some state champions. I have one kid who's a national champion in kata. And I think, I want to say he might have done it in sparring too, but there's actually two of them were state champions. So, and quite a few of them actually. So there's we have some kids that compete and do very well.
You mentioned at 14 you went to the Judo and Karate Center in Cranford. Was that your first experience with martial arts?
Well, my first experience was my dad. So my dad actually went there, like, I think in the 60s. So that school has been around a very long time. And then he started teaching me first. So my dad was my first martial arts instructor. Like most lifelong martial artists, they usually pick it up from a family member somewhere. And then he had some friends that he trained with that were pretty knowledgeable and well-trained, and I got exposed to them a little bit before I ever went to that school. But that was my first official in school that I enrolled in. Yeah.
And tell me a little bit about your life growing up. You grew up in Cranford.
I did. I grew up in Cranford. My mom and dad were both from Cranford. So and my grandparents on my father's side were from Cranford as well. I grew up here. I went to school here. And, you know, Cranford's a great town. It was a great town to grow up in. I grew up in obviously a different time, so it was the 70s and, you know, 70s and early 80s that I went to school here, up until 91 I graduated. But, yeah, you know, I grew up here and played sports here, you know, and now I see my kids, they're going to school here and they're in a different school, so they're on the north side, I was on the south side, but seeing them play sports and just kind of reminds me of when I was practicing at the same field and playing on the same field. So it's that kind of town where you have you can have roots, family roots for a long time, and you get to see the generations going through the same stages in a good way, not like, you know, being stuck, but like watching your kids go through the same wonderful things you went through as a kid.
Your wife's also involved with the business, isn't she?
She is. Diana, she actually has her own business right now that she's working on. She's she's a part owner of Mighty Mitts, which is a pet sitting company. And the second thing she's doing, she just passed her real estate exam. So she is working with the Barbara Zechman team for Coldwell Banker out of Westfield. And so those are her main two things now that she's going to be focusing on. But she has helped quite a bit in the background with setting up some of the school software and some of the organizational procedures that we have in place for the school. She's helped a lot to develop some of the background things that you wouldn't see going on all the time, but that are really important to us.
Everything seems to be changing so quickly when it comes to technology. Martial arts, though, is an ancient art. It goes back centuries. Is it changing over the years from what you saw when you first were a student in the 70s to what you're seeing now? How has it changed?
Right now, if you look at martial arts, if I was to ask most people out there, they would say, and I'd say, what do you name the martial arts you know? They would say Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu would probably be on top of the list. And you got Krav Maga and then MMA. So those are the three that are current now. But if you look back through time, and just like anything, it could be through any, you look back at nutrition and dieting or exercise programs, over the years, they're always changing and going to a new fad. I'm not saying those are fads, but I'm saying there's always a focus shift, right? And so with martial arts, right now the focus is on those three mainly, but they get the most visibility through the media and everything else. And they are all, you know, effective. But everything that's in those martial arts was derived from other martial arts. And most of them, but not the Krav Maga. Krav Maga is something that was developed for self-defense by the Israeli military. Okay, so that's more of a police military type thing. It's not necessarily civilian self-defense, although you can use it for that. Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu was derived from judo, and I believe a Japanese judo player went to Brazil and brought it there and met the Gracie grandfather and shared his art with him, and they became friends. And then the Gracie family focused on the ground portion, the ground waza or ground techniques, and developed it to a high level. And they had, that's why it's called Gracie, because they focused on one part and developed their own art within that art. And then they later renamed it Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, but technically it was derived from judo. So you see these arts that were derived from other arts taking a piece of it and raising it to a high level, a very high technical level, and bringing it back to life in some way, or making it a new, almost like a new art. And the third one I said was MMA. So MMA is striking, kicking, punching, grappling. It's a sport-based art. And so a lot of these have a competition element to them. Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu has competition. And there's the MMA, they have competition. So you see that as a focus now. And so there's a heavier competition focus than there was before. But those are the main ones. So the difference that I see is that it's a shift that you always see. And any, like I said, in anything from nutrition to fitness and martial arts. But what we do is a little different. You know, we compete, it's no different. There's rules and everything else. But the art that we study for the adults and for self-defense is not derived from another art. And so I tell people sometimes we do OMA, which is original martial arts, right? It's like a play off the MMA. But the martial arts that we study, my grandmaster learned from his teachers, and their arts, their family arts go back 6 and 7 generations of really high-level martial artists back to when they were actually on battlefield fighting back in the, you know, 15, 16, 1700s in Okinawa and in areas of China. So it's old, and it's pretty unique. So it's not, I'm not saying it's better or worse, it's just different, right? So that's what I always wanted to get out of martial arts, and that's what I always looked for. So I found something that fit me, and I did it. So I just think with people, you know, find what you like or what you think you want to do that's going to fit who you are, but not necessarily jump on what's always popular, right? Because that's going to change at some point, to some degree.
Two of the volunteer activities that you're involved with in Cranford, you're on the board of the Cranford Area Chamber of Commerce, and you're also involved with the Cranford JCs, and there's something coming up called Track Friday. Tell me a little bit about that, please.
Track Friday is a charity and community event. You can think of it as, it's a play that the founder, Eric Rubinson, made it based on the play on the words Black Friday. And I've been trying to really think about a way to really get this across to people quick and easy. And so if you look at Black Friday, there's people that are going to go out. They're going to spend money. They might buy things online for a discount. So they're spending money on getting something. And they also show up at the stores and they gather in the stores. But those are usually not very positive experiences. A lot of the times you get fights breaking out and really bad things happening sometimes. You know, in a lot of places it's chaos. So because it's the day after Thanksgiving, the founder said that he wanted to create something that would be in the spirit of giving and getting together to help, you know, causes and do good things. So he started it because of the Hurricane Sandy damage that was done in Middletown, and he was from Middletown, so he wanted to raise money for that. So if you think of Track Friday as a gathering in the spirit of giving the day after Thanksgiving, where you've actually taken money and donated it to a cause, and you're giving in that manner, then the gathering and the giving are not necessarily connected, but they are. You know what I mean? So you're going to donate to your causes or your charities or whatever the fundraiser is that you want to support. And then you're going to gather at the track with those other people who have also donated in that same spirit. So it's a great event. Last year we did, I think, about 15,000 in total donations through all the charities. And I'm hoping this year we can surpass that. But we need the support of the people who are either in town or are going to support the JC's fundraising efforts this year, or any other team on the leaderboard. Or if you have a charity that you want to support, you can put your charity on that leaderboard and raise money for your own charity. So it's just really about raising charity awareness for whatever charities are out there that want to be a part of it, and getting people together the day after Thanksgiving in a positive giving spirit. So, and anybody can donate. You can donate now. You can go on the team to the website that we have, or on the link, and you can donate now. You don't have to wait till Friday after Thanksgiving. That can be done all the way up until, I think, December 8th or 9th. It's a great event, and I'm looking forward to it this year. It's going to be good.
Thank you so much for spending time with us. We've been talking to Arthur Hearns, the owner of Hands of Life Martial Arts in Garwood. Arthur, thank you for taking the time to talk with us.
Bernie, thank you for coming down. I appreciate it.